Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Matthew 4:4. I want to continue a little bit about what I started on Sunday about hearing God. I didn't finish what I wanted to get to on Sunday, and I really felt like we needed to just talk about this and finish what God had kind of laid on my heart. So let me put some things out there that I've already have mentioned. If you weren't here Sunday, you can listen to the podcast. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds or comes from, depending on what your translation is, from the mouth of God. Now, this is what we are to live by, of what comes out of God's mouth. That's what we're to live by. We can't live by bread alone. And the when it says live, it's talking about the God kind of life. And so for us to have the God kind of life, the Zoe life, the life that He called us to, bread, physical bread is not going to be enough to sustain the life that God has for you. You have to have some of that for your physical, but you've got to have the Word of God in your life. It's got to, you live by what God says. And not just, here's the other thing about this, and I'm just going through it real quick. What comes out of His mouth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the words that come out were not just spoken for the people of the time it came out of His mouth. It was spoken for us today, and it will be for us tomorrow. And so I just love that about God's Word. It's applicable for past, present, future. It's and so we live all of our life based on what God has spoke. John 10:27, my sheep, that's us. We are His sheep. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. All right, so here's the thing, three things here. My sheep, they hear. They hear my voice. And then God says, I know them. I know them. So they've heard my voice, I know them, and then they follow me. I think a lot of Christians get the first two of these. They're all about, I heard the voice of God and I got saved. But then when they come to understand that He knows them, has a personal relationship, you have a personal relationship with God, then there's an expectation of His sheep follow. And the sad part is, these three things, as we understand them, that they need to all be there. We need to hear, we need to know that He knows us and we know Him, and that we're following Him. All three of those things, very impactful. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So how does faith come? Faith comes by the Word. But you can only hear and understand the Word because knowing the Word here is translated rhema. Now, I got into this on Sunday, logos and rhema, and you have to understand the difference. The difference is very important to get an understanding. Logos is the general Word of God. Rhema is the action Word of God. So if you're going to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we talked about this on Sunday, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the way you put it into action is for it to come out of you. Comes out of your mouth. So the Word of God in action is rhema. And so Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. So anyone who comes to God must believe, put the Word of God in action. It's a belief in what God said. So it's in action, rhema. Romans, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, the rhema of God, the rhema. It's impossible to please God without the action of the Word in your life. And a lot of people will say, okay, I know what the Word says. I get that. So does the enemy. The enemy knows what the Word says, but the enemy's not living by the Word. So we don't want to put ourselves in that same classification. Well, I know what the Word says. No, I do what the Word says. The action of the Word. All right, we ended Sunday, and I want to start tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, all of us want to be equipped for good work. And I read this scripture and I'm like, okay, this is great scripture because all scripture, the rhema of scripture comes out of us. Here's the thing that not a lot of us want to talk about. The word of God is profitable in your life for you to be taught. It's profitable for you so that you can learn, so that you can gain knowledge of, so that you can know how to live. It's profitable for teaching. It's also profitable for God's people, and it's breathed out of God's mouth. It's breath for you, and no one wants to talk about this for reproof. I don't know about you, but have you ever read the word and you're like, ooh, that one stings. I didn't really want to hear that, and that wasn't what I wanted. But we've got to know that scriptures should do that. If you've never been reproofed through scripture, then it's not doing for you everything it can. For correction. Ooh, no one wants correction. But for love to be administered, correction has to be with it. I'm not going to go in and teach you all know enough about that. For training in righteousness. There's none righteous, not one, the Bible says. Romans 3:23, I believe, is where you'll find it. There's not one right, not one in right standing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody here has not reached perfection. Well, what's the Bible do? It trains you for that. It trains you for perfection. It trains you for righteousness. That the man of God can be complete. I just have dealt with person after person in my life who just feels incomplete. Just incomplete. Well, my encouragement to someone who just feels like I'm just incomplete, I'm in need of the word's the only thing that will bring you to a complete state. Well, I don't know if I can get there. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. Now, here's what it doesn't say. The man of God will be complete. Because God's not forcing that on you. It's a choice you can make. And the word of God is the only way you can get there. And you can be equipped for every good work. Well, I just don't know what we need to do here. There's some things that I'm continually praying about. Things with the school I meet with our staff on. I was meeting today. What are we going to do here? How are we going to handle this? And man, I mowed my yard today. And I said, God, I'm just going to seek you to give me knowledge that I don't have right now. I know that if I choose this or if I choose this, neither one of them are sin issues. They're both good. But God, I need some direction. And it's not that it's just overwhelming me, but I know that God, your word says you go equip me for every good work. And I want a good work here. I want a good work for what you... So you equip me for that. Every good work you can equip me for. See, the scriptures are important in our lives, and if we don't understand that God will reveal some things to you through scripture. But if you don't have scripture being poured into you, where's that revelation coming from? The scriptures are important in our lives, and we're called to read and to ingest. I mean, we've got to take in scripture into our lives. If you're not meditating on God's word and you don't have time to wait upon the Lord and you don't know how to really, I'm not a good reader. Well, praise God you live in the day and age you live in, because they'll read it to you. A little app on your phone, you don't know how to do that, I'll show you. You say, well, I don't have a smartphone. Do you have a cassette player maybe? Something. There's opportunities to get the word in. It's just we're choosing not to. If we really just boil, the word of God has to be a daily input into your life. The Bible says now faith is your substance and evidence. Now, present tense. Well, I read it when I got saved when I was 12. You're 40. There's got to be a daily ingesting of the word. And I know that there are times I find myself, man, I'm kind of empty right now. Well, I can know that right then is a time that I need to go, okay, it's because the word's not in me. Yesterday's words is not now. Remember, the Holy Spirit will never contradict God's written word. And sometimes I hear Christians being prompted, and I'm like, well, get some scripture to back up what you're talking about. The words you hear and all of your desires should always be carefully screened with Scripture. Always. If you're going to hear God, we've got to know that in this busy age, there is an opportunity for all of us to listen to voices that may not line up with Scripture. And so we've just got to be aware of this. And we oftentimes will listen to someone else and we don't hear the voice of God because we're not in His Word. And we're not hearing the voice of God. And I know that this is something we all got to work with, because it's not hard to get away with a good book or just to turn on some music. Why? Because there's not an attack on that. But the enemy doesn't want you in the Word. And so there will always be an attack on your time defined in Scripture. And we have to be listening, and we have to be listening. And you can't just, I'd rather you read it and not take anything in than not read it. However, we've got to really tune our hearts in to hear what's being said. There's a story, and I love this story. Apparently, President Roosevelt, years ago, he got tired of smiling the expected presidential smile and saying the usual expected things as he's going through these lines of White House receptions and these people that he would have to greet. Now, that's a true story. But President Roosevelt, one evening, he decided to find out whether anybody was really listening to what he was saying. And so as each person came up to him with an extended hand, he flashed that big smile and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Just smiled real big. People would automatically respond with comments like, "Well, how lovely. It's nice to meet you, Mr. President." Someone else would come up and he'd shake their hand and go, "I murdered my grandmother this morning. Nice to meet you," and, you know, that kind of thing. And nobody paid any attention. Nobody listened to what he was actually saying except for one foreign diplomat. And when the president said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," the diplomat responded softly, "I'm sure she had it coming." We've got to slow down, calm ourselves, and listen to God just as much as you find yourself listening to what you want to hear. Listen prayerfully when you read the Scriptures and when you listen to a sermon. And listen with the intent to repeat in action what you've heard in Logos. Take it and make it Rhema. Make it an action in your life. Make the Word of God come alive. You need to set aside time, a quiet time when you can be calm and listen to the one who you say is your Lord. All right, I get it, Pastor. I hear you. So I get all of this, but who do I really listen to God through? Because I don't understand Scripture. And you know, for years, if you were reading the King James Bible only, and I'm not in any way against it, praise God for it. My first Bible was the King James Bible. And so God would reveal things to me, even in King James English, that I didn't understand. And then God would explain it to me. I don't really understand. Sometimes he'd explain it through preachers, through different things. But how will God speak to you? And who do I listen to God through? Four, right here, four, not 12, four. Four. First, through God's Word. How do I hear God? I hear God through His Word. The Bible's the final authority on any matter that it addresses. Never accept anything as being from God, even if it just slightly contradicts the Bible. If it slightly contradicts the Bible, it's just like poison. Well, I've got a glass of water and I just put one drop of poison. It's 99.9% water. Yeah, I'm not, it just messed the whole thing up. So if it slightly contradicts the Word, it's not God. Number two, you hear God through men of God. Let me say, not just men, through men of God. Men and women of God that you have confidence in because of their godly lives can help you know the voice of God. God may use them to speak directly to you. And just always know this, their words have to be backed up by Scripture. Their words have to be backed up by Scripture. So if a man's saying anything, you take it to the Scripture and make sure it's backed up. But you know, sometimes you hadn't thought about that, and then they'll quote a Scripture verse and go, "Here's why I think that." Oh, That's good. I had a guy years ago saying, I'm all about God. I'm saved. I got saved. And was telling me about the age and the day he got saved, and it was awesome. But he goes, man, he goes, I'm not having anything to do with church. But I'm saved. I said, yeah, that's great, but there's a couple of scriptures. Can I point them out to you? If you heard about them and that contradicted what you were saying, would you change your mind? He goes, yeah, but there's nothing there about that. I said, ooh. And so I just went right to Hebrews 10:25. You know, what's it say about forsaking the assembling of the believers? I'm around God's people. Okay, I get that. When Christ went and left the Holy Spirit, it was poured out at the beginning of Acts. Have you read what Peter spoke? Who are all the people saved in Acts when Peter spoke his first sermon? And how many were added to the kingdom, or what were they added to? The church. And so I just started pulling out some things, and he goes, but I'm sure you're right, the church. And we were joking around about it. I mean, I was on a hunting trip. I remember it like it was yesterday. We got back from that hunting trip, and guess where he was the next Sunday? He was in church. Because all of a sudden, Scripture was revealed through man, but it was backed up. So make sure you back up Scripture if you're going to be speaking it, or you listen to someone who says, number three, directly to us. God uses this method. A lot of times he'll speak directly into your heart and life. I get this. God uses this method to call people into service. I remember distinctly a few things that happened, three or four things that happened when Michelle and I knew that God was calling us. And I didn't speak it out loud, but God was speaking it into my heart. And I'm like, every time I turned, it's like, okay, you can't do anything else but. And it was just through just life, he was speaking directly to me. Now, when you think that God is speaking directly to you, here's what you have to do. You have to back it up with godly counsel and wisdom. Now, when I thought that, I was scared to tell my wife, because she made it real clear when we got married that she did not marry a preacher. And so I'm like, God, you're not calling me to preach. No, I'll help a church get started. But it ain't, And I'm sitting here arguing with God, and he goes, she'll think right. God, you don't know my wife very well. Let me just explain something. And I'm sitting here arguing with God, and so finally I kind of mentioned, well, you know, I'd love to just go to this church in Hot Springs, but I'm kind of thinking it needs to be here. She just all of a sudden said, yeah, and I think we're the ones supposed to. You did it. You moved the immovable. In my mind, I thought, and you know, the fact is, she was right. She didn't marry a preacher. She married someone that wasn't called to preach when we got married. It was years later that God called, and we were both willing to accept. Why? Because we heard directly from God. It wasn't a script, but we backed it up with godly counsel and wisdom. And we went and talked to different people, and God, I know you're calling both of us because you moved my wife. I mean, it was just affirmation for me. Calls from God don't lie. Yeah, that's good. They don't lie, but personal excitement will fade with time. 17, 18 years later, there has not been an excitement for God's call in our life fade. It was the real deal then, and it was and is now. The same yesterday, today, and forever. New converts should become very grounded in the truth before attempting to receive direct orders from God. Let me just say this, because I know I will have some people say, well, here's my experience. I understand everybody has one. I just have seen a lot of people say right after getting saved that God called them to something, and then their lives didn't unfold exactly because they didn't back it up with Scripture or godly counsel and wisdom. Make sure that you're backing it up with the other avenues that God has there. I have never personally heard him speak audibly. I have asked, and I have, God, please, just this big booming voice, please, for me. I know you did it for Moses. You did it for Chapman. Just do it for me. God, please. And then I get into word, and I can't deny that he spoke to me, but it didn't come through my ears. That's me. Other people have another story. But God spoke to me clearly by watching him move on my wife. See, she didn't have to say anything. It was just, I knew that was God. And so if he, it was just as clear as if he'd have said it audibly for me. You've got to get to a place where that inner impression, as God directly speaks to you, is verified and backed up by others that you consider close to you and know your life. Certainly not all of our impressions are from God. Most of our external cues in a lot of ways are from our own mind. And so we've got to be very sensitive in order to distinguish God's prompting. Am I talking about this enough that you're getting, some of y'all are kind of nodding, but I want to make sure I get this point. Trial and error can certainly come into play here. Because there are times I thought I heard God say something and then I did it. And I was like, the fruit that produced, I missed it. And I don't know if anybody here has been there. I don't want to talk about those experiences. You come up with your own and then just leave them. I don't give any glory to the devil. But experience and consistency over time are of utmost importance. And I just believe that there are times that I know that God has impressed upon me from his word something that he already impressed upon me in my mind. And I'll be reading it. I'm like, okay, God, that's what you meant there. I got it. I'm there. And I've watched spiritual leadership and how they handle things. You know, I've got some great mentors in life that I've watched them hear from God, and I've seen that in their life. Number four, and I'm not done, but I'm close. He will speak through gifts of the Spirit. Now, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, they've got to be judged by the hearers. This doesn't mean that you criticize or you ignore what is said, but you judge its accuracy according to the Word of God. If it's not backed up by the Word of God and it's not contradicting the Word of God, it needs to have your attention, because God still uses gifts in supernatural ways to speak to his people. Now, knowing that God did speak, how do I know? How do I know? Let me just give you a couple of things that will let you know that that was God. That was God. That had to have been God. Compare what you're hearing with what you've been taught. And I'll give you some scripture for that. The second thing, compare what you're hearing with past experiences. Well, how do I know this was God? Compare what you are hearing with someone else's experiences. If God is no respecter of persons, according to Scripture, then there's oftentimes other people that you can go to for counsel and use their experience to say, yeah, that's got to be God. And the fourth thing is compare what you're hearing with God's Word. Those are all very, very, very important. Here's the first one, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they've given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Young people, listen to this. Don't ever forsake what you've been taught. Don't ever forsake what you've been taught. Well, why? Because the Bible said not to. And oftentimes, you will have some new theology that someone's got a hold of. And what happens is you end up forsaking what you were taught, and it will always be tugging at your heart, and you're going to be split-minded. It's going to be tough for you. Hebrews chapter 2. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? Peter started all of this. He heard him do all of this, and he started preaching about it and teaching. And what I'm telling you is he heard Jesus personally. And then someone heard Jesus, and it's been passed down and passed down and passed down, and it's backed up by Scripture. We can read what Peter preached. So we can preach what Peter preached. It's phenomenal. And so you've got to compare What you are hearing was you're hearing from God by what has been taught. Never abandon principles instilled in you by the church according to Scripture. I'm not talking traditions. I'm talking about Scripture. Contemporaries in every generation pressure God's people to forsake biblical guidelines. And man, we're in a horrible time right now with that in our culture. Trying to get out of biblical guidelines. Scorning them as foolish and out of date, and they're turning a deaf ear. And I'm just telling you, it's not working for us. So we've got to listen to those who have heard him speak. Number two, compare what you're hearing with past experiences. Recall from the past what was of God and what was of the flesh, and then act accordingly. Now, time and experience, just know this, time and experience are great teachers. Why? Because there's a lot of failures in there. Time and experience are great teachers. Have you ever heard one of the main reasons you need to study history is so that you don't repeat it? Let me tell you one of the other great reasons to study history so you can repeat it. There's a lot of godly people that I know that have went on to be with Jesus. And as I've studied and watched their life, I know they made some mistakes, but man, they made some great headway for the kingdom. And I can look back and I compare with their past experience. Here's what I say all the time. If I can learn from somebody else's mistake, I don't have to make it. So compare based on Scripture, other people's past experiences, and don't make the same mistakes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2:11 talks about not letting Satan outsmart us. You know, when it says to not let Satan outsmart us, he's warning us. Why? Because Satan sometimes outsmarts us. Whew. I mean, really, it wouldn't even talk about that. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, I don't want Satan outsmarting us, for we've got to be familiar with his evil schemes. He has evil schemes. You get familiar with somebody by being aware of what they do. I want to know that Satan has a scheme that he's trying to work. Right now in our world, you've got to recognize there's some things that's coming directly against the word of God. And you got to recognize them. Well, the only way you'll recognize them is being aware of what God said and what the enemy's schemes are. You got to be aware of those. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God's faithful. He'll not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he'll show you a way out so that you can endure. I like to talk to our young people, and I may talk about this in chapel in the morning at CMA. So I'll give all you CMA students a little heads up for in the morning. God gives you the opportunity to handle temptations in life. Now, the temptations in your life are no different than what someone else has faced. Sometimes you're tempted, and the enemy, one of his schemes is to say, you're the only one that's ever faced this temptation. Well, the problem with that is that's a definitive, direct violation of Scripture. Well, you just don't understand, Mom, Dad. You don't understand. No, you don't understand. I know you think we don't understand, but the older I get, I know my mama understood. And I thought for a season of my life, she didn't have a clue. I remember being downstairs talking on the phone about a skip day. And my mom would never understand the need to skip school. But I had it. I needed it. I just needed a day off. I needed to go bowling. And my mom just wouldn't understand. And so I didn't tell her because she wouldn't have understood. I remember in our house having a cord that was like 780 feet long. And so you could get into other rooms without her knowing. And then we got into this place where we had these cordless phones. Do you remember the cordless phones when they first came out? I mean, do you remember this? And you're holding it and the antenna's 3 foot above your head. Only my age and older get to. But anyway, we could walk out on the back porch. What I didn't think about was Mama's room was right above us. And it has a window that opens. That just never entered my mind. And we were talking all about it. And she knew through my conversation. And then I walk upstairs and she starts talking to me like, well, how was school today? It was great. Why? You never ask about school. Okay, you know, don't you? It was that quick. But what I'm telling you is I was tempted to do something that, like, my mom wouldn't understand. She understood the whole thing, and so did my hind end. What I'm telling you is there are temptations in life all the time. Paul Kern said one of the most profound things as an adult that I wish I'd have heard as a child. And I'll never forget it. God gives you just as great an opportunity as the enemy does with temptation. He's tempting you to do the wrong thing. But in that, God's given you the power and the ability to do the right thing. So if we as Christians would take any temptation and go, you know what? I'm just tempted to do the right thing. And we would start thinking like that instead of always being tempted to do the wrong thing. I'm just tempted to do the right thing. I'm going to put that computer down. And just because I'm tempted to do the right thing, I'm going to go do something that's productive. Or I'm going to get out of this right here, and I'm going to go, I'm tempted to do the right thing. I need to go get some work done. Whatever it is, there's a temptation in all of your life to do the wrong thing. But we need to look at it as, I'm just tempted to do the right thing as a Christian. And so compare what you're doing very, very clearly with past experiences. You've already failed there. So why is this continually a temptation? That's a past experience. I need to know. Somebody else has already failed there. I don't have to do that. Number three, compare what you're hearing with someone else's experiences. Now, be sure to use godly, proven men and women as sounding boards to determine if you're on course or not. Independence and self-centeredness, they're sure routes to following the wrong voice. So if it's all about you, then you can't sing, it's all about you, God. You can't do that because it's all about me. And as I'm singing that, sometimes I have to back up and go, and right now I want to sing It's All About You, but I just need to let Shelby. Because right now, some things in my life are really all about me. I don't know if you ever think like that, but you got to back up and go, wait a minute here. I've got to compare this with someone else's experience, and someone else's experience is making that all about God. And as she's singing that, I believe what she's singing. And you know what? I'm going to jump on board because her experience is profound. I've watched this young lady. She's singing about it. I can see it in her face. The anointing's on her. That's a past experience. I know enough about her life to know that she's made things about God, not herself. All of a sudden, I can use Shelby's past experiences, and she's half my age, even more than that. 1 Thessalonians 5, dear brothers and sisters, verse 12. Honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you, and they give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. I tell our staff all the time, everybody here is operating on a call of God. Everyone here is operating on a call of God. We show each other respect and we defend each other in everything we do and say. Now, if there's a wrong heart, we'll address a wrong heart. There are wrong decisions or decisions that could have been made that could have been better. But if the heart was right, we're going to do that because we're going to show respect and wholehearted love because of the work that they're put. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but we've got to know that in life we can hear God through other people's experiences and we compare them. The fourth and the last one, compare what you're hearing with God's word. Any direction from God will harmonize with the Bible and the spirit of the Bible. Reject anything else immediately. We've already talked about that, but you've got to back everything up with the word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, we've already read it. All scripture. Not some, all scripture. Now, I want to end tonight with just a quick statement. What if I mistake God's voice? Because I know that we have all done that. We thought we had it figured out and we're like, oh, I missed it. It's real easy. Ask God to forgive you. Allow it to become a learning experience. Forgive anyone who might have confused you. Don't get bitter towards people. Don't get bitter towards people. Make the best of your current situation. Quit kicking yourself and defeating yourself in this because you're not being used for the kingdom of God. You've got to move forward, and it's hard to do when all you're doing is looking back at a mistake you made. Come on, somebody needed to hear that tonight. Just forgive yourself and move forward. Well, it's harder than you think. Not if you ask God to forgive you. If he's forgiven you, and he has, because that's what he sent Jesus to do, and if he's forgiven you, then he has thrown your sin, he's separated it from you. It's not to be held against you ever again. It's just not a remission of sin. It's a forgiveness forever of sin. Separated as far as the east is from the west. Thrown in the deepest part of the sea, not to be remembered against you again. Now, here's the last, and I'm just going to go out and say this. Always be careful about saying, God told me. I'm always very careful about God told me until after I've already seen the fruit. God told me to be a pastor, but I kept my mouth shut when I thought he was telling me. I didn't go tell not one person. God told me he's calling me into the ministry. Nope. I knew that I knew that I knew that God had told me, and I was already on that route before I opened my mouth. Here's why. When you say, thus saith the Lord, you shut out all godly counsel and wisdom. God told me. Because if you come and say, God told me to do something, what do you think? I don't think. You go do it. I'm not trumping God. When God told you and you say that, now God told me, you don't need to ask nobody. If it comes out of your mouth, if it's in your head and in your heart, then what do I do? Well, how do I say if I think God's? Well, here's what you say. I've been praying about this. I've been trying to make this decision. I kind of feel prompted by God, but I'm trying to make sure that I'm hearing the voice of God. Well, once you do that, you'll watch counsel jump right in, and they'll give you some scripture, and they'll start affirming what. I don't know if I'm helping anybody tonight, but I'm just telling you, I've heard it way too many times, and I'm tired of Christians being discredited because they say God told them to do something, and they don't do it. Well, did you miss God? Yep, you sure did. Because if God said that, you'd be doing it. Or you denied God, and you're not doing what he told you. Are you following me? Be careful about saying that for someone else. God told me you need to be, God told me you need to be saved. You can back that one up. See, make sure you can back it up with scripture. Not God told me you need to be the next president of the United States. Did he tell you that? I don't know. Jason, you sound good. How horrible is it when people come up and say, God told me to just make sure that you're not putting God in a predicament to have to discredit you? Because he will. And what I'm telling you is he loves you and he wants to speak into your life and we want to hear him. Did that help anybody tonight? Just hearing God. Y'all stand with me this evening.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.